You are listening to Eye on the Valley with Sergeant and Allie. Dan Levitt is our next interview today, and he's the executive director of Tabor Village, a long-term care facility for seniors in Abbotsford. Here's our conversation.
How is your connection with community organizations? Are they giving you support?
The first part of the community that I would just mention that has been incredibly supportive is our colleagues who work in the same area. You know, our colleagues from Langley Lodge, who also went through a major outbreak that was highly publicized, unfortunately for all of us in the media, it doesn't always present the best light on long-term care. They came and they brought us donuts and they decorated the front of our building with hearts, exclaiming that all the staff are heroes. So that was great to see our colleagues come. Other colleagues have dropped off gowns, PPE. We borrowed some oxygen concentrators just in case from Maplewood. Menno helped us create a prayer that all the MB churches across Canada have used and other nursing homes across Canada have used. So our community has been very supportive. Our pharmacist, Rexel, has been incredibly supportive, providing us meals, of course, individually packaged. Our colleagues at Hallmark provided us a pizza lunch, again, individually packaged. You know, another beautiful story is one of our care staff, her whole family was impacted by COVID. And at her child's school, the class themselves decided to do something for a senior somewhere. Her son said, how about we do something for Tabor, where my mom works? And they created, I think, cards for all the residents, and they're being delivered here soon. And I can tell you that anyone that we've reached out to has been very, very supportive. I'm probably missing a whole bunch of number of other organizations. These community partnerships were established way before COVID. We're doing a capital campaign to raise $11 million, our contribution to replace our outdated infrastructure. And we have so many community partners that helped us get to that milestone.
How has technology been implemented in your care facility?
There's a myth that the older you get, the less technology competent you are. I really suggest that it's not just an age-related issue, even though I think that's embedded into people's belief, and I think that's part of ageism. But I would suggest that an 80-year-old, a 70-year-old, 90-year-old that lives here, they might not have grown up with technology, but there's nothing stopping us from making that available. What is a big challenge for us right now is having that technology that is COVID-friendly. So having an iPad that they're using to communicate with their loved one doing a virtual visit, the challenge is it involves a staff member in basically enabling that technology, because not every senior can do it on their own, not because they aren't tech savvy, but because perhaps their dementia or their physical inability might limit them to be able to operate that. So it's really important that we access new technology that seniors can use that is nursing home friendly or assisted living friendly. It might be a TV screen that is automatically turned on with a camera, two-way camera for the family member, often the daughter. That is the reality. It's usually daughters who are involved in their parents' care or their spouse's care, a female. And then they could communicate two-way, and that the senior wouldn't have to necessarily press a button to acknowledge and accept. They might do a voice acceptance, and then they can communicate that way. So the technology, it might be as simple as a phone. They might be using phone technology or cell phones, and we do window visits, and we do letter writing. There's different things we're doing to communicate and keep the contact with family members, but it is a very difficult time to maintain social connectedness for seniors.
How is this outbreak and all that loss and all that those infections had an impact on residents who live there?
Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because I think it's something that gets overlooked in the conversation around COVID and nursing homes, is how this impacts on friendships that develop inside the nursing home. And it's also something that I think in the current design of nursing homes with the long corridors and the kind of that hospital style institutional model, I think it's difficult to always maintain, you know, make connections just because of the way the building's laid out. So right now people are spending a lot of the time in their own room, and they have been all year long, because the more time you spend away from people, the better chance you have of not getting the virus. That's the way that we've been told to do, and we've tried to do it as much as possible. People do know when they move in here, this is likely going to be their last address, and they do know that people will die. I think it's just the amount of death and the amount of loss and thinking who's going to be next. It's really been tough for a lot of people. If there's any silver lining, it's the fact that the care staff become their families, they become their friends. The activity staff are phenomenal. Their therapeutic recreation staff, our pasture. There's lots of programs that are coming into the rooms When the pandemic started, we were doing something called hallway bingo, where people would sit at the edge of their doorway in their wheelchair or a chair, and we would play bingo. They would use a hospital table. But now with outbreaks where people are stuck in their rooms, we bring in things like crossword puzzles, books to engage and keep their mind stimulated. But it is very difficult right now for everybody in long-term care.
I'm so sorry to hear that it's been so difficult for you and yours over there, Dan.
Thank you for saying that, and thank you for your support. It is a time now for us to thank the aged care industry, the nursing home, the aged care community, the seniors in your life, to really recognize them and lift them up. I think this is an opportunity now for us to really take stock of old people in our lives and older adults and older persons, and really make sure that the elderly are respected and provide dignity, and that we make changes in the way that we provide care and housing and supports to seniors.
I wanted to ask you about the new vaccine updates, because it looks like vaccines will be coming to Canada by 2021 for certain now. How has that announcement made by Dr. Bonnie Henry changed your game plan moving forward?
So, good question. So we're very excited about the vaccine. It is a light at the end of the tunnel. When they announced recently that the vaccines were coming as early as the middle of December, I thought, wow. If anyone's going to get it, it's got to be long-term care, and it's got to be those that are at the highest risk. And so I'm optimistic that we'll get it. But even with getting the vaccine, even with staff getting it and seniors getting it, I still think that there is going to be risk until the actual virus is eradicated from the general population, until this herd immunity. It's not going to change anything at all, other than it might give us a little bit less stress, but we still have to be totally diligent and vigilant on all of our following of all the guidelines to ensure that we don't have even one case, because one case is too much. So it gives us hope, but we still have to continue with the plan until we eliminate the virus. If I had a dream, my dream would be that all of the frontline healthcare workers in long-term care would be vaccinated as soon as possible, and that the number of vaccinations that we're getting in our province would increase to match the number of healthcare workers. Because unfortunately, it is healthcare workers that have brought the virus into nursing homes. And I want to be really clear, it's not their fault. It's the fact that they come in and they have no symptoms, they're asymptomatic. Our screening test is not sensitive enough to pick up asymptomatic symptoms. So they make it through the screening, and that's when we have our outbreaks. And by the time we find out, it's really too late, the spread's been done. If we could have reduced the community spread, we would have reduced the nursing home outbreaks, because if you look at where the community spread is, that's where the nursing home outbreaks are. The vaccine will make a big difference. And if I had my magic wand, my dream would be to vaccinate all the healthcare workers. That would save the lives of seniors, because seniors then wouldn't get the virus. And the healthcare workers would also have the extra layer of comfort, knowing that they won't be bringing that virus home to their family members.
How's your relationship now with Dr. Bonnie Henry's office and the provincial health officials?
Our relationship with Fraser Health, which is the regional body that oversees and operates healthcare, we have a very good relationship with them, and we've had it for many years. They've been just totally supportive of us all the way through, including providing us with the guidelines, the pandemic plan, updates. We have town hall meetings with them once a week. We have lots of communication going back and forth, and very supportive. And specifically around public health and infection control, yes, to your question, we do have a kind of a direct line with some very senior people in the health authority to connect with and make sure that we're supporting each other. And I can tell you that that relationship's never been stronger.
I would like you to explain to the people, from your perspective, what you want them to know that they may not know of senior care facilities and the COVID crisis at the moment.
You know, it's very interesting. If you turn on the nightly news and there's a story about a nursing home with an outbreak, the news anchor, I've heard this a number of times, they'll say, the continuing failure of the nursing home industry to protect seniors. And I just think that that is something we shouldn't even be saying. We should be talking about society and community spread. And the responsibility is truly lies on how we ourselves conduct ourselves when we are at work. If we wore a mask, how would this be different? If we always maintained 6 feet or more apart from each other, if we always washed our hands properly and thoroughly, if we didn't touch our faces, if we followed all the rules and had really made some sacrifices, many people have made sacrifices, but if everyone did it, imagine where this would have gone. So I think that the key thing is that the spread inside the nursing home and from and to the nursing home is from community spread. That's where it starts. The virus doesn't enter the building without someone bringing it in. It can't get in on its own. And seniors aren't going out. Family members are wearing PPE, their gowns. The only way it comes in really is unfortunately through healthcare workers. So we have to recognize that. And to recognize that the places where the outbreaks are occurring in, a lot of them are in outdated buildings that are challenged for infection control. The actual building has physical challenges. The staffing, the way that we provide care, the way that we manage our day-to-day lives within care itself, it's major challenge to control infections and prevent infections just by the nature of how the system's set up. So I think the key thing is we want everyone's support. Remember how important nursing homes are to our community. They're providing a vital service, and we should be supporting them and finding ways to help them reduce the burden. And I think what that means is really looking at the root cause of why we have outbreaks, and also thinking how can we be ambassadors and be supportive, perhaps rather than critical, especially people who are going through a very, very tough times.
Well, thank you so much. And sir, thank you for joining us. I know you could have been anywhere today, but you chose to join us. But thank you.
Of course. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good one.